Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear from Pastor James Strickland. He's going to preach on 1 Samuel chapter 1, a story about Hannah who wanted to have kids but couldn't, and everyone picked on her and made her so sad. But she continued to pray and continued to trust in God. She vowed that if she had a child, she would give him to God to be a blessing for others. And when she got her prayer answered, that's exactly what she did. Here's Pastor James Strickland. If you want to find out more about us, check out our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us for live stream tomorrow on Facebook at 10:45, Sharon Baptist Concord.
We want to pray for our precious mothers. This is a precious day that we always set aside every year to especially recognize our mothers and our ladies in our lives. We want to certainly pray for them today. Brian Baer, who's going to come, and Brian has prepared a song for us to encourage the mothers today. So if you'll listen intently as Brother Brian comes, he's going to come sing for us now and bless us with music. Brother Brian, will you come sing for us?
The first day of recess, they all laughed at me. When I fell off the swing set and scraped my knee, the nurse called my mama to say I'd be late. When she gave me the phone, I could hear mama say, "I'm so sorry, son. Oh, I think you're so brave." And she smiling when she said, "When you come home, no matter how far, run through the door and into my arms. That's where you are loved, that's where you belong. I will be goodbye through the window as I boarded the plane. My first job in Houston was waiting for me. Found a letter from Mama tucked in my coat. As I flew down the runway, I smiled when she wrote, "I miss you, son. You'll be so far away, but I'll be waiting for the day when you come home, no matter how far, run through the door and into my arms. That's where you are loved, that's where you belong. Told me your mother is fading, it's best that you leave. So I whispered I love you and then turned away. But I stopped at the door when I heard mama say, "I love you, son, but they're calling me away. Promise me before I go, when you come home, no matter how far, run through the door and into my arms. It's where you are loved, it's where you belong. bless you mothers out there. Thank you.
Powerful song. Powerful song. Thank God for mothers. If you had a godly mother who was always there for you, oh, how blessed you were. When your mother goes to heaven, as Brian sang, she'll be there waiting for you with open arms. I'd like to share a message today about the ministry of motherhood. If you'd turn with me, please, in your scripture, if you have it conveniently there. If not, listen as I intently read carefully from the first book of Samuel, chapter number 1. This passage was written in the days when Israel was moving from the days of the judges to the beginning of the first king of Israel. And it says, in those days, in the days of the judges, that every man did that which he thought was right in his own eyes. Family life was low, morals were low, spiritual life was low. It almost seems like today, doesn't it? You could almost take this passage out and put it into our modern day events, and it seemed like it's just like it's what's going on today. I want to look in on those days and look at a family. Even in those days, there was a family, the family of Elkanah, who loved the Lord, who lived for the Lord, and they were an exception to what was going on in that particular day. There are always going to be exceptions in days of the sin and wickedness when there's going to be godly families who will raise up godly children through godly parents to serve the Lord Jesus. Now, this is a passage that we're going to look at in the life of Hannah. I want to just kind of lift out Hannah, for instance, and look at her life as this is Mother's Day. But it takes, beloved, listen, it takes both parents, husband, wife, mom and dad, and living for the Lord to raise up godly children as we should raise them today, who will also be ones who will come along behind us and serve the Lord and love Him as well. But I want to ask you something, ladies, mothers, listen. Have you ever considered that you have a divine calling from God to the ministry of motherhood? God calls women to be mothers, to minister to their children. Do you realize you've been called if you're a mother? Do you realize God has called you, placed His hand upon you, given you a precious gift of a child or children, and given you the responsibility and opportunity and the privilege to raise those children up like Hannah did Samuel, to serve the Lord and live for Him all the days of their life? There's no greater calling to a woman than the call of motherhood. I want to take a segment here out of the life of Hannah, Samuel's mother, and see how God needed a woman in those days. You see, Jesus Christ came down through the seed of woman, and God needed a woman to carry on His promise that the Lord Jesus might come through the tribe of Judah sometime down through the years later on. But it does take godly people, godly parents, to raise up godly children. Now, I want to look at this passage with you. Look at her life. Let's lift her life out and look at her ministry of motherhood. And I want you to see three things with me today. First of all, I want you to see this. A mother's life, like Hannah, is sometimes a life of bitterness. Notice this in verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Contrary to most people's opinion, the life of a mother is not always a life of ease. It's not always a bed of roses. Many times there's many thorns in that bed, isn't there? And so always it's not an easy life for mothers, not for Hannah here in the first place as well. Now, it may not be hard for you, may be hard for you. Nonetheless, there'll be times in your life when there are times of bitterness will come to you just as it did in her life. What was the cause of her bitterness here? It revolved around the circumstances under which she was living day by day. Now, you may have certain circumstances in your life that would cause you bitterness in your life just like it did with Hannah. But why was Hannah bitter? Why was she in bitterness of soul, the scriptures say here? Let's look at those circumstances. Could have been more, no doubt. But there's two particular things I see here that caused her to be bitter in her soul. First of all, she was persecuted by her adversary, the other wife, Peninnah, on almost a daily basis. Look at verse 7. And as she did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Hannah was provoked by Peninnah. Therefore she, Hannah, wept and did not eat. Elkanah had two wives. Now, we don't have one wife today. It's the law of our land. It's the thing that we, you know, practice as Christians. But in the days when Elkanah lived, it was nothing out of the ordinary. It was customary for a man to have more than one wife. So we see here that Elkanah had two wives, Hannah, and he had also Peninnah. Now, the Bible says Peninnah, the other wife, had children. She had sons and daughters. So she had multiple children. But Hannah had no child. Hey, the Bible says that God had shut up her womb. And every year as they went up to Shiloh to sacrifice unto the Lord and worship God, Peninnah would always just chide Hannah because she didn't have any children. So it brought her to a time of bitterness in her life. She had no child. In the life of Israel, if a family had no children, if a mother could not be a mother and had no children, she was looked on with shame and disgrace because God had shut up her womb, because every woman of the Israeli community always had in the back of her mind the thought that maybe she might be the one that God would have chosen to carry on the seed, the lineage on down to when Jesus would come. So you see, if she had no children, she had no opportunity whatsoever of being that woman. So it caused her great pain, and she was bitterness in her heart about that. She was childless, and she was persecuted almost daily by the other wife, Peninnah. So she was in bitterness because of persecution. She was also in bitterness because of the position here of her husband. Look at verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Hannah, don't worry about not having children. Don't worry to the fact that you're not a mother. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Listen, that was not the issue of her husband being good to her. No doubt he was. No doubt he loved her. The issue was she was childless and she had no chance of being that woman through whom possibly the Messiah would be born. That was the issue. Well, God had, the Bible says, shut up her womb. So yearly she had been given even a double portion. When they went up to sacrifice every year, Elkanah gave her a double portion of things when they went up before the Lord. He's showing her his love, and he said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Yet she was still bitter. Beloved, listen. There may be times, ladies, in your life, mothers, when some circumstances come into your life that your husband will have absolutely no control over whatsoever. So what do you do in this situation? What did Hannah do when this situation arose, these circumstances prevailed in her life, and she was bitter? What did she do? What would you do if you were in Hannah's position? Let's see what she did. From her life of bitterness, I want you to see her life of prayerfulness. Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. You know, Hannah could have done what a lot of folks would do today. Hannah could have blamed God for not being able to have children and just grieved and be upset with God and stop loving the Lord and stop serving the Lord and just blame God for her being childless. She could have blamed her husband for not being able to give her children. She could have blamed a lot of situations. She could have blamed her husband because she might have said, hey, he loves Peninnah more than he does me. She has children and I don't have any children. Listen, this would not have solved the problem then, and this will not solve the problem today, to blame somebody else. So let's see what she did. What did she do? What would you do? What should you do? It says she wept sore and she prayed unto God in her bitterness. Have you ever stopped to think that probably, ladies, you ought to take your bitterness to the Lord and not try to blame somebody else or blame it on somebody else? Listen, a life of prayerfulness, I promise you, will change a life of bitterness. Look at Hannah's prayerfulness to the Lord. First of all, notice this. The Bible says she poured out her heart, her soul to the Lord. Look at verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. When old Eli the priest saw Hannah in the temple, bowed down before God, and he saw her lips moving, but he heard no words coming through her mouth. So he just assumed that she had been to the sacrifice and she had drunk too much wine or some kind of strong drink. He just assumed that she was drunk. But then she began to explain the situation unto Eli. Eli, I've not drunk any wine. I've not drunk any strong drink. I'm not drunk. I've not been drinking. I've come to pour out my soul unto God. How long has it been since you poured out your soul to the Lord? I mean, really got down upon your knees and you prayed and all the things in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul that had really caused you problems. You just poured them out there before the Lord. Probably a good thing to do, wouldn't you say? Hannah did that. Well, when she poured out her soul to the Lord, what is it she was doing? Look a little further with it. She petitioned God as she poured out her soul to the Lord. Look at verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She asked God first of all to not forget her. Mothers, listen, God never forgets you. It says that in the scriptures, it talks about a passage that says, even if it were possible for a mother to forget her nursing child, God says, I will never forget you. So Hannah said, Lord, if you'll just not forget me. And Lord, would you look upon the affliction in my life? Now, what was her affliction? She was persecuted by her adversary every day, and she had no child. She asked God specifically for a man child. Did you see that? She didn't ask God to kill Peninnah. She didn't ask God for something like that. She got her prayers in perspective, and she prayed specifically that God would remember her, not forget her, and God would give her a man child. In other words, that God, you'd have your way in my life. In this matter, God, I want you to have your way in this matter. So she petitioned God. And then as she prayed also and poured out her soul, she promised God in verse 11 that if he would not forget her and remember her and give her a man child, she promised God that she would give him back to the Lord all the days of his life to serve him and that no razor would come upon his head. What she was saying was, God, if you'll give me this man child, I'll give him back to you. He'll be a Nazarite all the days of his life. A Nazarite vow was one that a man took or was given, that he had vowed to serve the Lord all the days of his life. He would never have his hair cut. He would never have any kind of strong drink or alcohol whatsoever to enter his body. He would not touch a dead body. He would just devote all his life to the Lord. He would be a Nazarite, she says. I'll give him to you, Lord, all the days of his life. This is a vow that Hannah made to the Lord. I remember years ago when my mother finally one day shared with me the fact that when I was a young child, I was born with asthma. And numerous occasions I had attacks and almost expired on a few occasions. And one time we were in the hospital and my mother said that I had already turned blue and she said she thought I was going to die. And she prayed and my mother said, Lord, if you'll let my son live, I'll give him to you to serve you. And I didn't know for many, many years till after I was called to preach that my mother told me this. And then I knew why I was called to preach. God spared me for serving him. So you see, Hannah said, if you'll just give him to me, Lord, I'll give him back to you. Well, she poured out her heart in her sorrow, but look what she did. She prevailed over her sorrow in her life. Look at verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Notice what she did. She went her way, not sorrowful, not bitter, not blaming anybody. She just went her way. She had prevailed with the Lord. She said, Lord, this is all in your hands. And whatever you choose to do about it in this circumstance, in this situation, in this issue, whatever, Lord, you choose to do, it will be all right with me. Mothers, let me ask you something. Ladies, let me ask you something. Is there something in your life that you need to take before the Lord and pour out your soul and leave the matter in the hands of the Lord? You see, your satisfaction in life, just like it is with Hannah, your satisfaction in life can only come from your relationship to the Lord. So you see, in Hannah's life, we see a life of bitterness to begin with. We see a life of prayerfulness. But I want you to see one more thing in Hannah's life. In her life, you see a life of thankfulness. Look at verse 20. Carefully note verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. You see the answer she got? She got a man child. What did she ask for? She asked for a child, first of all, and specifically she asked for a man child. And what did God do in her behalf? He gave her a child, he gave her a son, and she called his name Samuel. A befitting name, you see, because Samuel means asked of God. You see the answer in her soul. God still answers prayer today. So whatever it is you have maybe committed to the Lord, whatever you need to commit to the Lord, you do so, pour out your soul, prevail with God, and God will answer. I promise you that He will. So you see, a life of prayerfulness always produces a life of thankfulness. How long has it been in your life since you stopped and really got along with God by yourself and thanked God, first of all, that He doesn't forget you, that He remembers you? Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your family. Thank God for the opportunity of knowing Him and living for Him and loving Him. I mean from the bottom of your heart, as Hannah did here. Thankfulness, you see, goes beyond words. It did in Hannah's life, and it will in yours and in ours as well. Look at what happened in this life of thankfulness. First of all, she thanked God that God remembered her. In verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And she thanked God for remembering her. What would you expect God to do when she prayed before God and poured out her soul and left the matter in God's hands? What would you expect God to do except to remember her as He did? What have you asked God for? What have you taken to the Lord and you left it in God's hands and asked God to remember you? I can promise you He has not forgotten you. I will never leave you, never forsake you, never fool you, never forget you. It's amazing to me why so many people live today like they think God never even thinks about them. There's not a time in your life when God doesn't think about you. There's never a time in your life when God doesn't love you. There's never a time in your life when God will not always remember you, never forget you. Have you prayed out your soul to the Lord and left it in God's hands? Well, if you have, listen, God will remember you. Just be thankful that God will remember you and not forget you. Hannah was thankful. We ought to be thankful that God remembers us. Look at this. Also, she was thankful that God granted her request that she had asked for. In verse 27, she says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him." Hannah was thankful for the young child, Samuel. Even before he was born, she thanked God that God remembered her and God was giving her the answer to her prayers. God had heard her. God had given her what she asked for. God gave her a son. She was so thankful for Samuel. She asked in faith, believing as the New Testament teaches us, if we ask anything in the will of God in Jesus' name, in faith, believing, it will be granted unto us. So she thanked God that he remembered her. She thanked God for answering her request. And look at this. She thanked God well enough that she returned Samuel to the Lord. Look at verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. The Bible says that Elkanah was going up to the yearly sacrifice, and he said, Hannah, come bring Samuel and go with us. She said, no, I've got to wean him before I bring him to the temple. And you don't understand, in today's society, in the Israeli society, a child wasn't weaned till he was about 2 years old. And the scripture says Samuel, when she brought him, was a young child. So she said, I'm going to keep him at home, nurture him, nurse him, take care of him. And when I wean him, I'll bring him to the temple and present him to the Lord forever. So in the time he was weaned, she brought Samuel to the temple. She brought him and presented him before Eli, the high priest, to let Eli train him and teach him all the ways of serving the Lord and how about sacrifices and all the things that would be involved in him serving the Lord. She brought him to the temple and left him for his spiritual upbringing and training to serve the Lord. You see, ladies, she thought enough of her vow to the Lord. She said, God, if you'll remember me, give me a child. I promise you, I'll lend him to you all the days of his life. She made a vow. And as Samuel was born and weaned, she brought him back before the Lord, and she gave him to the Lord and honored the vow. She was so thankful to God that she honored the vow that she had made. Maybe there's a vow, mothers, that maybe you've made somewhere in your life. And maybe you've promised God something. And maybe you've not kept the vow that you promised God, if he would do thus and thus and thus for you, you would this and this and this for him. And you haven't kept your part of that promise or that vow. Now's a good time to get along with God and begin to honor that vow that you made. If you haven't kept it, you can start keeping it today. Let this be a lesson to not just the mothers, but all of us. About making vows to God. It's better, the Bible says, to not make a vow to God than to make a vow to God and not keep it. So listen, a life of bitterness you see in her life was turned to a life of prayerfulness. And the life of prayerfulness is always turned into a life of thankfulness. And it always results in returning to God what God has given you. What you asked for, you return in thankfulness to the Lord, to be used for the glory of God. I want to close the message with this thought. How thankful, ladies, are you today for God's presence in your life, for your husband, for your children, for your family? How thankful are you? How long has it been since you had gone back by yourself, alone somewhere with God, and thought about your calling? Listen, you've been called to the ministry of motherhood, the greatest calling in the world to a woman. What does the ministry of motherhood mean to you? You know what it meant to Hannah? She gave back to God everything God gave her. You know, that's what God wants from us, to give back to Him all He's given us. Think about it, ladies, today, the ministry of motherhood.
Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We hope you got a lot from this message. If you'd like to find out more about us, look at our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us tomorrow at 10:45 live streaming on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.